Okay, so this is our pre-Pesach Tovshin Pei Hei class, and we're dedicating this class L'Zchus Chaya Sara Rachel Bas Sheina Bracha. What a name, Gavaldik. All right. Beautiful. So let's go like this. I know that there are questions that I want to address, so we're going to have someone reading out the questions. I did not have a chance to look at it. I do want to just open up the class by pointing out we're going to speak very practical rules, halachot, minhagim, and that is that what's unusual, what's really uncommon, is the way Pesach falls out this year, that Pesach begins Motzoi Shabbos. And because of that, here is what happens. First of all, Bedikas Chametz, which normally should be done the night before the Seder, will not be done this year the night before the Seder, which is Friday night, for the simple reason that we're not allowed to do Bedikas Chametz the way we do it on Friday night. What do? We do it a night prior. So instead of us beginning with Thursday night, I just want to make a mention that we have what we call the fast of the firstborn, Ta'anit Bechorot. Either the firstborn or a parent of firstborns that are minors, many of such parents fast on their behalf. When I say fast, no one really, really fasts, but people are obliged to fast and they use a way out. And it's a beautiful way out. It's a real Jewish way out. One of the very few Jewish way outs that are not directly connected to eating, which is a miracle, even though we make sure we have food, but it's not, we really minimize the food, is that someone who concluded, who finished an entire tractate of the Talmud, which would be one of the justifications of making a su'udat mitzvah, because someone completed a substantial part of Torah, people conclude that in public. It could be one person for all. And that calls forth a celebration. Yes, food again. How do we celebrate? Also by eating. Normally, Erev Pesach. This is normally done Erev Pesach. This year would be Shabbos. We cannot do it this year Erev Pesach because we're not allowed to fast Shabbos to begin with. Normally, when there's a fast on Shabbos, either it gets pushed off to Sunday, like if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. We can't push it off to Sunday because you can't fast on Pesach. We never push a fast back to Erev Shabbos. We rarely fast on Friday. Yes, if the 10th of Teves falls on Erev Shabbos, we would fast. If Tisha B'Av would fall on Erev Shabbos before we establish the calendar, now it never happens, we would fast, but that's the exception. The rule is that we don't want to enter Shabbos very hungry. Why? For the same reason why we're not supposed to have a substantial meal before Shabbos. What's the reason for both? That we're supposed to enjoy eating on Shabbos. When a person is full and they eat even though they are already full, there's a halachic term for that. And that's called, it's a despicable meal. Not only does it not give a person pleasure, which is what food is meant to do. Food has two parts. The basic, it's supposed to sustain, nourish. And there is a pleasure that Hashem gave to food that we are to partake of in moderation, especially on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And not, you need the nourishment. When a person is full, food will not nourish them. The food will hurt them. So it actually works against you. Nor does a person even experience pleasure. If a person will say, that's not true, that's not true, that I eat even when I'm full and I have pleasure, that's a person who has a real eating disorder. Don't debate them, that they and their illness, it's illness, they feel pleasure, but it's not the way they should be, and they have to be healed, and the first thing is they have to stop it. So because of that, we're not supposed to have a large meal at Erev Shabbos. Many people don't eat from noon. I don't want to get into the halachas. There are mamash, the halachas of what you could do. It's okay. I mean, most people today don't sit down and have a real meal, b'chlal. So just pace yourself every Friday in a way where when Shabbos comes, you don't want to be starving, because when people are starving, they also don't enjoy the meal. That's all we have baked. And I want to say that after every fast day, most people, at least when I grew up in my home, and I'm sure my home was like everyone else's homes, you're starving, you eat, and everyone complains afterwards. I don't feel good, I ate too much, because it's not healthy for the body to go from fasting 25 hours to, again, indulging in a real meal. So the proper way of eating is that you're not starving and you're not really satisfied. You're not satisfied. And because of that, we don't fast on Fridays. We don't want to enter. Now, I know there's an exception, and we just had it this year, Tavshin Pei Hei. It's even more common than Pesach that Asara B'Tevis was on Friday. We know that. Say that. So there's exceptions to everything. So therefore, the fast is pushed back to Thursday. So for people here who have just your husband, your son, there is an inyan of having a siyum done Thursday morning. It's the whole seder is unusual this year. That's the first real pre-Pesach step. Bidikas chametz is Thursday night. Something that I mention every year that I learned from Rabbi Shusterman that really drilled it into me good, correctly so, that even though the final bidikas chametz has to be done with a blessing whenever we do it, normally the night before, this year Thursday night, it doesn't make sense to cook Pesach food in a kitchen, which I will do in my home, like most of us will do it, not Friday. I'm going to be doing it Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday. How can you make food in your kitchen for Pesach before you did Bedikas? It makes the Bedikas Chametz into a joke. And therefore, I'm just repeating the simple Torah that Bedikas Chametz culminates the proper night with a blessing. With a blessing, with a candle, with everything, Kimin Hagenu, with the 10, that dafket at the end. But it doesn't have to be the only one. And halachically, I know it's strange. I heard it from him maybe 20 years ago when I moved there. I know he repeats it every year, and he's so right. So let's say by me, I think we're kashering the kitchen, I think on Wednesday. We don't have that many kids. We don't need that much time. So that means Tuesday night, Bedikas Chametz should happen in my kitchen. Bedikas Chametz without a blessing. Bedikas Chametz without the 10 pieces of bread. But yes, at night. Yes, with a flashlight. The same idea that once, and it doesn't have to begin in the kitchen. In other words, I know I repeat this every year because I hear it every year, and every year it's becoming more normal to me that when you do the Pesach cleaning, however you do it, it's a process. I think most homes leave the kitchen to last. You have kids. I mean, you do the bedrooms. You do this. When you finish a bedroom, the ideal would be tell your husband this environment is already kosher l'Pesach, and that night he should take a flashlight, doesn't have to take a candle, and do a bedikas chametz. I'm not saying it has to be that way, but certainly in the kitchen it has to be that way. So whenever you're going to, whoever's staying home for Pesach, it's going to be the week. It's not going to be this week. It's going to be sometime next week. Aim for whichever day you're going to kasher the kitchen. The night prior, do bedikas chametz there by simply looking.
And practically with a flashlight and just, so not saying no bracha, but
People should do it with a flashlight. You know, people say, why? What's wrong with daylight or with this light? Okay, this is old. That's the way we do it. We do it at night. We do it with a flashlight. We don't see anything. We focused in on a location. Our kitchens are amazing compared to the kitchens that they had in the times of Chazal. We have very clean homes. Very clean homes. It's very simple. Bedikas Chametz doesn't have to be in the closets that you're not going to use. It's no big deal. Just to make a formal Bedikas Chametz, go over the countertops and go through the sink and go in the closets that you plan to use for Pesach. You never know, especially with young kids. We all know that. We never know. And then that's it. And then you did Bedikas Chametz. Okay. So Thursday night is the formal Bedikas Chametz this year. People who are traveling should know that wherever they will be, they should make a Bedikas Chametz Thursday night. If people are on an airplane, there's nothing they can do. I get that. But it's like if a person is going to be already in their destination for Pesach Thursday, that's the best. Then you take 10 pieces of bread and you spread them out and you do the Bedikas Chametz in your new location. If people are going away for Pesach and they plan to leave Friday, which could happen, and they're not planning to Pesach clean their home, then you take one environment in your home. I say the living room, just a couch. Or take the easiest environment in your home, make Bedikas Chametz there Thursday night. even though you're not cleaning your house for Pesach, even though your house is going to be sold, which is fine, but everyone should make a bedikas chametz Thursday night. The only people that won't make it then will be people that are on the go. They're traveling. Okay. You got it, what I said? And then, let's say a person is leaving, they make a bedikas chametz Thursday night, like you just make it in the dining room over here. You go over the table, you go on your chairs, you put the 10 pieces of bread, and you take them with you wherever you're going for them to be burnt in your destination. If you're traveling when you're going Friday, then leave it with someone who will burn it Friday. So what's going to happen Thursday? Thursday night we're doing bedikas chametz. We make a bracha. The statement that all of the chametz that I did not find, I'm nullifying, we make. The Thursday night bedikas chametz is like we do every year. What's very unusual is that Friday, normally we make it the day before Pesach. And then I have to check. But it doesn't matter. We're being recorded. It's going to be around 10:30, 10:40, 10:15. It's in that time that you can't eat chametz. And then within the next around hour, you got to burn it. We will do that Friday with a big difference. When we do it every year, you mamish can't eat chametz. When the time is up, get endicked with the chametz. Now, not exactly. To be consistent, we're going to stop eating chametz. We're going to burn the chametz within the next hour. We will not make the declaration all the chametz is nullified, because you're not nullifying chametz, because everyone will have some chametz for the Shabbos meals.
Is that the Ol Chamira?
We do not say Kol Chamira Friday.
We
do say the mystical prayer, Yehi Ratzon, that may my Yetzer Hara be burnt in the fire. It's such a good prayer. No work. All you do is God Almighty,
okay.
I give it to you.
Yes.
Very good. Okay. You say Yehi Ratzon. You do not say Kol Chamira. Not only that, the chametz, you have to just be careful. Because really, really, when must we stop eating chametz? Shabbos morning, I'm guessing now, 10:40. I'm just giving 10:30. I didn't look at the Zmanim before I came in here. But more or less. So I'll get to there. So you have chametz, but you put it in a separate place. Most people are afraid to have chametz with little kids. So what they do is they're going to separate two challahs for Friday night. You want to be able to have two challahs every time you wash. Friday night and Shabbos morning. Many people will just separate three bilkalach. Because you'll have lechem mishnah Friday night. You'll eat one. Then you'll have two bilkalach for Shabbos day. Shabbos day's meal has to end around 7:30. 10:30. 10:30, 10:40.
You have to have a meal Shabbos morning?
Okay, that's a bigger topic. Do you have to? If someone cannot, to tell them they have to is, I don't like saying that. On the premise that healthy eating gives a person pleasure, based on that premise, and healthy eating includes bread, based on these two premises, then yes, there's a mitzvah to enjoy, not only, but also through eating, which would mean that we're supposed to have three meals on Shabbos, halachically. But let's not make it so, sometimes you word it in a way where people right away, they don't like it because they're being, no one's forcing anyone. Hashem says, my kids, I really would love for you to enjoy Shabbos. You say that words to the wrong person, they'll go to the beach and they'll watch television the whole day. So I'm not saying it, enjoy Shabbos the way it can sound, like everyone has different ears. But part of Yiddish enjoying is healthy eating, which includes eating a meal, and yes. And because of that, we will all be davening Shabbos morning around 7:15, 7:30. Which, just to know that in the rest of the world, it's so normal that. Just our world, it's so normal. When I lived in Yerushalayim, and I went with Steri, I used to love the great synagogue. They had these cantors, and I loved Chazon. It's not a daven, it was just for a show. They began already at 8:30. That's late. Most people were over. I used to go there. And then I used to go to the Tzemach Tzedek. They start at 10, officially. When we walk to shul, everyone is going home, and the Lubavitchers are going to shul. And that's the way it is in the Holy Land. I know that here in Chabad Solo, we start 9:30. I think we're the only Chabad shul, the whole United States, that starts at 9:30. And the Rebbe starts at 10. True. The Rebbe started later. And we're going to have to start at 7:15. So for the people that enjoy it, that's the biggest pleasure. You'll have one normal Shabbos. We'll be over around 10. To give people the opportunity to go home and to wash. It's not just eating the bread, ideally, to finish the meal by the end of the time that you can eat chametz. So if a meal takes 30 minutes, which is, to me, normal, So then you come home, you wash, you have a 30-minute meal, and you bench. Now, I can add a lot to that. I know I'm being recorded. To make it more pleasurable, you can have a milchik meal. Because for many people, sadly, at 10 o'clock Shabbos morning is a breakfast. They're just waking up. So, okay, say there. So have breakfast. But make a suuda.
You don't need children?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have children.
Okay,
so first of all, I want to say like this, that the word shulent for me, not for you, for me, is mamash chametz, because we don't make chamim the way...
Yatsik.
In other words, part of the pleasure of eating has to do with warm food. And even though we're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, no, but food that's put up on the fire before Shabbos will turn into a chulent if it's on the fire from before Shabbat until the Shabbos meal. So really,
we're allowed. It's not,
we're not allowed to eat chametz after 10:30. I'm giving you
no, for the meal. For the
Shabbos
meal,
day Shabbos meal, day, the chametz is not about the meal. It's about challah. We want to have bread. The only other alternative to wash would be on matzah. We're not allowed to eat matzah the day before Pesach. Yeah. So the only way we can wash is by having chametz. Therefore, we have to have it. And we have to finish the meal, ideally. Finish the meal, ideally, before, let's say, 10:30. I wish, maybe I'll just check and
so
tell you the times. Look at this
month. Lox and cream cheese, that would be okay.
That would be okay. Even though that you're supposed to have a shlema.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's okay. So, no, you can take the bagels.
Yeah, bagels.
And you can, after you make hamoitzi, you'll cut it open and then you'll make yourself your...
I didn't even think about it. It's a good idea.
Think about it. That's a great idea.
Can we have bagel? It's full, but it's sliced.
No. But well, you can have a bagel unsliced. You can make hamoitzi and then slice it.
And
then put the bagels and then put the lox in there.
I thought it's just like a siman, so it's okay.
No. We don't want it to be open. Yeah, what time? I'm just...
You go by Magen Avraham or Gra?
I'm going to the altar. I'm going to purposefully use Chabad. 10 what time?
There's
10:20
or
10:44. Okay, I'm gonna check because the Alter Rebbe, whose decisive rulings we follow, has his own zmanim. That's okay. I'm gonna check. I think it's gonna be the latter. It's gonna be 10:40, something like that. The Alter Rebbe has a very unique opinion. He was unique. He stood alone, and we stand with him proudly. Okay. So I think I covered. So again, so Thursday, fast of the firstborn. Thursday night, bedikas chametz. Friday day, the 10:40, burning chametz. We burn it. Even though after we burn it, you still have with the lulav, if you made it beautiful. But we're not bound not to eat chametz. We just don't want to have chametz flying around our home. I want to add one thing. Shabbos day, after you finish the meal, you take the crumbs from the leftovers of the challah, and you flush it down the toilet.
What? Okay, now it makes sense. Because like, we have to take the challah to the
toilet. You have to destroy, no, 1 second. You have to destroy the challah. That's the way you destroy the challah.
Like what?
Any crumbs.
Can I make a bigger mess though? Like, you have a table and...
First of all, most people eat outdoors. People eat outdoors. People are very careful where they eat. People, many people live in places where taking it to the outside dumpster is carrying.
Chabad.org. 10:43.
I'm going to go with 10:43. See, it's not exactly. We're always different. In a good way.
I put the zip code for 900.
So 10:43 is this month. That's Shabbos. Now, what about Friday? When do we have to burn the chametz on Friday? Maybe a minute early. Probably 10:42. It goes normally.
Okay, let me look.
Just go back one day.
This
many, many years ago. Very. This is very rare. The end of the time to eat chametz.
Sell and burn chametz before 11:49 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what.
So I'm gonna say,
no, but that's for Thursday.
That's for Friday.
That's Friday.
It's Friday. We have to finish. We have to burn it within. We don't want to make it. People are gonna get confused. People remember we burn it in the halachic fifth hour of the day. So Friday we're gonna burn it the way we burn every year, even though there's a big difference. Normally when we're burning chametz, you can't eat chametz. This year you could eat chametz, but you're gonna de facto not have chametz.
Can you use the knife to cut the challah that's in your chametz drawer, and then at 10?
went before 10, 43.
Put it back.
Put it back and it's fine.
Yes. Let me explain something.
The kitchen and the
fire. You shouldn't rinse it.
I would not take anything and go just practically. Why should I go into my kitchen, go out of the kitchen? Right. We live in LA. We're blessed over here with the weather. This is today is considered a not amazing day. It's an amazing day. You're going to have the food outside and wash outside and bench outside. And I want to go back to the flushing of the toilet, because the alternative, some people are of the opinion that that which is in your trash can, even outside, you might have some ownership. If we're going to go with that opinion, then you flush it down the toilet. If you have whom to lean on by saying that if something is outside your house and anyone has access to our garbage, the proof is all the homeless on my block, they go through the garbage in LA, you know what's in there is really going to be taken. That's called hefker. You can put it outside. Leave it outside.
Aren't the crumbs bottled anyway?
Like little crumbs? Also. Okay, say that. I'm just saying what people do. What people did was is that they didn't have the luxury that we had. People in Brooklyn, they lived in apartments. And what they did was, what did they do with what they ate? They ate something. They ate on a corner. What do you do with the rest? Right. So to be gluttonous, to eat every this, you finish eating and you thrust it down the toilet. This is what people did. Okay. Just a technical thing. I don't want to avoid those questions. Just something very interesting. The sale of the chametz is done on Friday. We are not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos. Wow. So what happens with all of the knives? If someone theoretically wants to make a meal of chametz Friday night, theoretically, they can do it. We are joining a restaurant who needs parnasa. There's a restaurant called Bowls and Buns. He davens in our shul. He has an okay hechsher, and we want to support him. And he's not open for Pesach, like many eateries that are chametz. He's selling everything. But since he's selling everything, he decided he's making a Friday night meal. And I'm going to the meal. And it's going to be a meal. Most people in their homes Friday night, they're having two chalalach, and that's it. Everything else is kosher. Pesach technically are in it. Because you don't want to have chametz in your home. He's renting a place. Secret Gardens. It's a beautiful hall. It's huge. That's on Pico La Cienega. And we're going to have a Friday night meal. And it's going to be a proper chametz dikka meal. So the question is, hold
Friday
on.
Friday night you can have proper chametz.
Theoretically, you can have it. Most people don't do it because they don't want to have chametz in their homes. But since he's selling it, but then the people ask me, how does it work? You're making a meal. Let's say he's going to serve something like lakshin. And it's in a pan. Very nice that everything is closed for Pesach. But the sale of the chametz happened before Shabbos.
Right.
So what about that chametz and the taste that goes inside the pans? That was not sold because we ate it. So what happens after Pesach? Why isn't that a problem?
Isn't everything time stamped?
I know.
Like you're saying that it's only not touchable after a certain time.
But the sale has to go into effect before Shabbos.
Let me
tell you how it works. The solution is, this is interesting, that when every city, people are delegated to sell the chametz. It always, in the Chabad world, it always goes to one place. After the sale is done Friday, then we tell the buyer that, do you allow us to take your chametz and eat it up until Shabbos 10:40? And all of the chametz that we will take, we will deduct from the money that you'll have to pay us. So let's say that the chametz of LA is valued at $1 million. I'm just talking about a number. $1 million. He pays, whoever buys it is paying $10. And he owes $900,000. He owes the change. And then after Pesach, if he wants, he can pay the $900 and something and he'll own it. Or we'll buy it back by giving him $200, $500, which is what happens every year. But if he buys it, we tell him, you don't have to pay $900 and that, because we are eating the chametz, we'll deduct. So he says, fine. So really, all of the chametz that we are eating, your bilkalach that you're eating, is you're eating chametz that the guy is allowing you to take, and you might have to pay him after Pesach, if he ends up buying your chametz. Something technical is just how this works. Bottom line is that even though the sale is done on Friday, there's no problem eating chametz until 10:43. But be careful. Most Jews don't eat chametz. They have Pesach meal Shabbos, practically, you don't want to make your house filled with chametz. You save a couple of bilkalach. That you keep in a very safe place. You wash, you eat that, and then you go back and you eat your normal meal.
But how do you make the cheshbon of how much you eat? So if you're technically having a deductible.
Because we hope it never gets there. If it gets there, we're all in big trouble.
Oh, because
he won't end up paying, just in case. There you go. Okay, I just want everyone to know how it works. This is how it works. Shabbos HaGadol is also, that means after 10:43, you can't have, most people, let's say 11 Muchik a meal, it will be ideal for people to make a good, meaningful Seder for Shabbos. That will be ideal, talking to myself, to make a learning session, something that it shouldn't be, it should be a beautiful Shabbos. It used to be that the rabbi would give a very big speech, Shabbos HaGadol, and maybe there should be a learning sometime early afternoon. Mincha is davened a bit early, because the minig for men and women is to say some of the Haggadah at Mincha. I don't know if you know that. After Mincha. Shabbos is out whenever Shabbos is out. I think it's 8:02 here in LA. And 8:02 is when we daven in Shul. Davening takes a bit more than usual because we have to add the Hallel. And then, so on one hand, we only begin davening at 8. Davening can take 40 minutes, 45 minutes. It means you get home only at 9. We don't want for the kids to fall asleep during the Seder, so we have that challenge. You know, setting up for the Seder is certainly, theoretically, should not be done on Shabbos at all. Can't prepare from Shabbos. It makes it very difficult for people who make these big Sedarim, how it's done. But in the home, it's easier to manage because the men are not home 8 o'clock. 8:02, you say, Baruch HaMavel Ben Kodesh LeKodesh, because it's not the weekday. And then you can start preparing for the Seder. And you have a good 45 minutes to an hour to get everything ready.
And that's the time you start getting dressed and walking to wherever you're going? Because you can't really get dressed for a Pesach Seder.
You're saying very good. So I wasn't thinking. That means if you're eating out, whatever you plan to do, but you're not choked with time because the men need time to daven. Right. So even though I know you live relatively far, but I'm telling you, davening takes, I think, 45 minutes because of Hallel. It takes a while. So people davening is only over like 8:45.
So once
Shabbos is over, Baruch HaMavel Ben Kodesh LeKodesh, and get ready for the Seder and go to the Seder or begin setting up your table. Okay, let's go to the questions that people asked and then we'll take it from there.
How do we manage Hamoitzi and Challah on Shabbos given that we'll already have to get rid of it, all chametz and
Seder? Okay, so that's the answer. In other words, you have Pesach meals, unless you're really savvy. You can have your bagel and lox. Just be careful. Whatever bread you separate should be limited, should be only that which you need for use. And if you have something substantial, the way I explained it, you can put it back in the closet because it's not yours. It was sold already. He gave you permission to take. So sometimes you can take and you can tell him, I took too much, I put back. But no one does that. People just get 3 bilkalach and they have a very little bit of an amount. And many people take the crumbs and they flush it down the toilet. Okay, next.
What cooking, baking items can be kashered for Pesach and how? Glass, wood, and metal.
Okay, so as a rule, new is better than used. When I say new, I mean only used for Pesach. I'm not saying this heartless. I'm saying this that people should have a family should have as a goal to accumulate as much as they could items that are only used on Pesach. Because kashering is kosher, even better if it was never used for chametz. If you're going to kasher something, glass by Ashkenazim will never be kashered for Pesach. Wood, you have to take precautions with wood because wood, like this beautiful table, has crevices. Now, it's not the end of the world for a table. I cover my wooden table. I cover it properly. If you have utensils of wood, if you have utensils of stone, if you have utensils of metal, then you can kasher them. If they don't have crevices, if the stone doesn't have grout cannot be kashered. Many people have marble tiles, not ceramic. Ceramic cannot be kashered, but they cannot kasher, which is not, doesn't matter, cover it. I'm talking about countertops. Grout cannot be kashered. So very good question. So there are certain items that are unkasherable, certain items that are kasherable. If you never did it yourself, it's better to hire someone who has practical experience and watch them do it, or If you had a mother who kashered, I'm saying some people, they grew up in it. They know, they have seen it. If you didn't see it, it's better to have someone do it for you once. And if that didn't happen, then I just refer back to many classes that we gave over the many years in the past that I went through great detail of how to get kashered these utensils. Next question. Sure.
Can you kosher a barbecue? Can you torch it?
If you were to kosher a barbecue, then you want to cover both the top and the bottom with coals. You want to do libun chomer. It's kosherable. You have to know what you're doing.
Torch it and then cover the grates?
Well, torching it is instead of...
Clean it first.
You have to clean it. And then you have to bring it up to a temperature that halachically is called libun chomer. Just like in my oven, if I would not have seen people kashering it, I would not know how to do it practically. The same would go for a barbecue. And especially since I want to go back to my principle that new, when I say new, it doesn't mean brand new. It means only for Pesach. Some people over the years, they somehow manage to have a Pesach kitchen. Not everyone has to get there. You don't have a Pesach kitchen. You can have Pesach kelim. I think that most Fruma people today have some of their things only for Pesach. They have a Pesach closet. You don't have to. It's just better to go there. So therefore, coming back to, so if new is better than kashered, do you know that you can get already for years these disposable barbecues? Mm-hmm. And I'm a chaya, like brand new. There's never used for chametz, and even if I didn't know what I was doing, it's good.
Yeah, we buy a new one every year. Someone that comes.
I would go with that rather than the theoretical. Now I already explained how to do it, but light it. Okay, next.
Items such as candlesticks that are not used for food but are generally placed on the table with chametz, is it enough to just clean them so they can be used on Pesach? Questioning for both silver candlesticks and glass candlesticks.
The minig that people do is that is where the tinfoil that is retarded. Everything tinfoil, all the jokes. that's where the tinfoil was used. Because tinfoil looks like silver. I don't know if it goes with glass. But most people would clean it. Some people would kasher it, but that's a chumrah that you don't have to. I would go with cleaning it, and just in case, because it's on a table with challah, to cover it with tinfoil. Glass cannot be kashered, so cover it with tinfoil and do it nicely. Do it with thick tinfoil, and it can be beautiful.
Can a microwave be kashered for Pesach?
A microwave should not be kashered for Pesach. Just simple. Buy a new microwave. Again, or don't use a microwave.
And then the next one.
A microwave could be kashered, not for Pesach.
The next one was about bedikas chametz of going away. I think you already covered it. And do we make a bracha at both locations?
No, bracha. Let me go in just a more in depth. A bracha is only made Thursday night. Now, if a person is going to be Thursday night in two different locations, that's a great halachic question. How that works? Many people have an office here. They have to do bedikas chametz in their office if they plan to go in their chol hamoed. They don't have to do it Thursday night. They don't have to do it Thursday night. Most people, they do it Wednesday night or Tuesday night without the bracha. But if they end up going there, then they should have in mind when they're making a bedikas chametz in their home that they're having in mind for both locations.
So what about like with employees and their chametz and stuff like that?
Is it all... So... I would say that you make bedikas chametz in your office, and no one should bring food into your office, even though you own, in South America, my father owned a factory, which was huge, had a lot of workers, but he did bedikas chametz in the office area.
Because you don't have to clean the rest of it out, and like
everything else was sold in the mechiras chametz.
But they could still eat from the office. Well, no.
It's more complicated. No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I cannot own chametz that the goy is using on Pesach. I can tell you more than that. I can't even own treif. It's a whole system you have to know. If you have employees, you can pay them, they should buy food. You can give them money. Mm-hmm. If you give them an allowance, but they have it. You're giving them the money. You're never giving them the food. Bechlau, because they eat treif. I don't want to have a system where I'm buying him treif for food.
So if you have like kosher snacks in an office, in a mini fridge, whatever, can you gift it to them for the 2 weeks or whatever?
You can gift it to them before Pesach.
Yeah.
Or you can lock it up with your chametz, mm-hmm, and get them accustomed that on Pesach, because of our dietary restrictions, that there is an allowance, there's a system that has to work for them. Mm-hmm. Even better if they don't eat on premise. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong, even better.
Yeah.
Because it can work. I know this just from practicalities. Listen, every office is different.
Right. So the rest of it doesn't need to be like checked for crumbs or whatever.
No, you're selling the rest. You just want that your working environment was, I'm not going to go eat a crumb, but I, in my office, if I eat there the whole year, then there could be, there's chametz in my drawer. It could be this real chametz laying around. And since I eat chametz the whole year, I might absentmindedly open up my drawer and eat a Danish. I mean, that's what we're aiming not to happen. So go in there before, clean your office out from chametz, and check it at a night prior to Pesach. There has to be a bedikas chametz. If I'm not going to be home anywhere, you're coming to your destination Friday. Do the best you could to clear it out from chametz. I want to tell you that most fancier hotels, they have a frigo bar, and even though it looks like that if you don't take the little bottle after you're paying $800 a night, they charge you $50 for the little vodka. Since if you break it accidentally, you have to pay for it, it's considered you own it halachically. And every fancy fridge, fancy hotel has real chametz from the alcohol. So what you have to do is you have to let them know. If you go to a Pesach program, I was going to cynically say then everything is chametz anyway, so who cares? But I'm not going to say that because I'm being recorded. God forbid. I mean, you have to just be afraid. But if you go to your own hotel, many people go, Cholamayit, you went to a hotel, you have to let them know you don't want any food in the frigo bar. And it doesn't always work. And then when you get there, open up, make sure, and if it's there, tell them, I made a request for religious reasons. There can be no food in my room. Please take it out. Okay, next.
I have a question.
Okay.
If you can't use anything that you can't peel, you don't use anything like
that. That's a minhag that we have.
Okay, so can you just help me understand? Because I don't understand, if I prepare it before, but I'm still allowed to eat it on the day of, I can't reconcile that. How come?
Okay, so here we go.
It's still chametz. We believe it's chametz during, as just before, but I'm going to eat it on?
So this is how chametz works. Non-kosher is nullified in the ratio of 60 to 1. Chametz is the exception, but that exception is only goes into effect on Pesach. Prior to Pesach, when you're preparing, not you, if someone is preparing Pesach food, if a little bit of chametz falls into the pot, since the ratio will be more than 60 to 1, they can eat that on Pesach because it was nullified prior to there being a problem with chametz. The chances for there being chametz on the peel is very, very, very minute. And even if there is, the size, the quantity is very insignificant. So we're going to go with the logic. I'm not saying many people don't do that as well. But just for people who are listening, that some people, they won't prepare food on Pesach prior to peeling it, but if they began Thursday, Friday, then they say that as long as it stays fresh for 2 or 3 days, I won't be so medagdek in peeling it, and they have a leg to stand on. It makes sense to me. It makes sense.
But that's only with cook, not raw. Like, what's the
why? Cooking it, uh-huh. Because cooking it is where it all gets mixed together. In order for there to be nullification, it has to be mixed together. Okay. If you just cut something up, you cut up a potato,
it's not shishin.
Then there's no shishin because it's there. It. When you cook it, it gets mixed up. So there are such people. What's the next question?
This is the last one. Going away for Pesach, can my housekeeper still come Chol Hamoed to clean and do work in the house while I'm gone?
Okay, so we have a general fear. Fear is a bad word. We have to be concerned that when no one is in the home, that people in the home won't be careful with kashrus. I think that should be a proper concern that we all have.
During the year, general.
Doesn't exclude Pesach. During the year. If I'm not going to be in my home, even if she takes from the pantry the noodles from her innocence, and she prepares the food, I'm not violating chametz on Pesach at all, because the noodles do not belong to me. The noodles do not belong to me. The problem is more a kashrus issue. And I think having cameras are halachically a great step up. It's a great step up. Nothing is perfect. For them to know that to our cameras, I know it might be uncomfortable, but halachically, it's so much better than not, because it's like having on some level a mashgiach. If the concern is she's gonna do the laundry, like what other concern does one have over here?
Like because the house, you sold the house basically.
I think that's a question. I don't know.
You don't, well, you, see, that's the thing.
The house is not.
You didn't really, really sell your house. You sold all the chametz in your house.
Because I have people staying in my house, but if they're, I'm not making because chametz.
That's no problem, because you're not selling your house. You're either renting it or you're gifting it to the people that are there. You're selling all the chametz in the house, and whoever will be in your home, it's on them to make sure that in their environment there is no chametz. We're not allowed to be in an environment with chametz. And now I have chametz in my house, but it's put away, and there's a siman for me to remember. Yeah, whoever. We're good.
I have a question about counters.
Sure.
To cover them, what's the Chabad covers them?
Well, like this, I don't think it's a Chabad thing. I think that if they are kasherable, then you have halachically two options, to kasher them or to cover them. If you cover them in a way where they will not get uncovered, meaning, let's be real, people who use tin foil, it's just a day or two until it gets off, unless it's very thick. Everyone knows their system. People use substances that we don't last the whole Pesach. So if they cannot be properly covered, then the halachic way is the kasher.
If they're kasher, I'm saying.
I'm sorry?
If they are kasherable.
To cover them as well. So that's the thing. Now, if they're not kasherable, you have to cover them. If they are kasherable, then you have halachically two options. To kasher, or to cover in a way that it stays covered the whole Yom Tov. The fact, you're bringing up a fact that many people are machmer. They kasher and they cover. Fine, Pesach, that's the time when people are machmer. Mm-hmm. You can't say you have to do it. You can't say that they're doing something crazy. People kasher, then they cover. Many times the covering goes off. Many times there's a bad smell. If you kashered, you have the advantage of telling the house cleaner that during Chol HaMoed, when you go with your kids somewhere, can you please clean everything up? I mean, everyone should figure out a system of what works best. But halachically, either or. Chumrah, people do both. Many people that I do in my home, we do both.
What about vitamins with kidneys if you swallow it?
Okay, so let's go to kidneys. So first of all, many people in our community are working now with a nutritionist. And I'm saying something not as a final ruling, but I just want to bear to the people's attention what I have witnessed, which is that 20, 30 years ago and more, a doctor was the say. The doctor was the one that told you, you need this medication. And when the doctor told you, you need to take it, no issue with kidneys. No issue with kidneys. I think that a nutritionist today is like a doctor. And they should be asked, is it something to prevent me from getting a virus? Or I have a certain imbalance in my body and I need this and I can't have that. And everyone knows exactly where they're at. If a nutritionist tells a person, this is what you need. If you won't do it, let me speak halachic words. Illness doesn't mean that you're going to die. Illness means that you'll be bedbound. And bedbound doesn't mean that you'll mamash go to bed, because many people here don't have the luxury to go to bed because we have kids and we have responsibilities and we have meals. But if not for all of those responsibilities, you feel off and you would want to lay down. You're bedbound. Just because you push through it, that's because you have no option. If a person is bedbound and those vitamins or those nutrients take the person away from being bedbound to being functional, then if the kidney is inside a capsule, I can say right away you can have it. I don't see any problem with it. I wouldn't say that with chametz. I'm saying this kidneys. and you have to find out what's in there. And in addition, that there are many vitamins that could be kosher l'Pesach. And even though that this brand is better than the other brand, again, I'm not the biggest maven, I would go get kosher l'Pesach. Where we have a carte blanche for kidneys, for Ashkenazim, is children under two. Carte blanche. Like, the formulas that many kids have and all of that is a kidneys. Mamish, not a problem. If a doctor says you got to take your medication, sometimes, even if it's chametz, if it's in a capsule, again, I'm not going... But when it comes to what you're asking, I say that the nutritionist in our community is bringing a lot of health to people. Mamish. I look up to it a lot. I think it has a lot of weight. And many people that are on these diets, they really feel good. And if they get off it, they're bedbound. They're dizzy. They're disoriented. I'm not talking about that they're miserable. They can be miserable the whole time, but they're more miserable. But I'm not talking about moods. I'm talking about their mamish, they're not well. And I think actually the one that we have here is very knowledgeable in chametz and in kidneys. And if you have some pre-thoughts, I think you can ask the nutritionist, can I get the same type of supplement that my body needs without it being kidneys? And if it's kidneys, she should describe what will happen to me if I don't take it. Certain things, okay. Certain things, I know people that got off insulin. Insulin is a machla by following her nutrients. I know a person that's bipolar that got better with her. It's big, that's big. So I give it a lot of credence. Could be the rabbanim of the older generation, they say you have to speak to a doctor. The doctor gave that person the bipolar medication. She got the person better from these supplements.
But that's a lot of psychiatrists now. They're mixing
good
nutritionists with this because they don't want to give those medication
because
before
very good
first come the nervous system and they see 50% of it it's just like the person.
The person is not eating for what they need, or they're eating the wrong things. Okay. So the good thing is, again, here, everyone is different. We're very fortunate here in LA because the people that I know most are going to are people that are religious themselves and they have a lot of knowledge and there's a lot of options. And ask, is there an alternative? I'm speaking about kidneys, just for the record. Chametz were a lot more careful. Mamish. But even my chametz, antibiotics, if a person has an illness that if they don't treat it, they're going to really, really get sick. That's a whole different, I'm not going there. I'm talking about to the younger generation that people are generally healthy, but everyone has their imbalances and these programs get them better. Find out. And this will be one way of establishing it, that if there's no other option, you're not eating it the normal way. You're swallowing it in a pill. You're not eating it. Many people say, b'chlal, it's not a problem. I'm saying, you want to be machmer. If I'm not going to do it, I'm going to be off. I'm not going to be well. I'll function. Of course you'll function because you have a whole operation going on. That's not called functioning. Okay.
What about toothpaste?
So I want to say regarding products, and over the years I learned to be very careful when it comes to products because every year products change. Mamish. Every year's products change. Let me say like this, that a toothpaste that has in it oats, don't say, even a dog cannot eat it and it's okay. I wouldn't go there. I think that's a mistake to go there. You don't have to go there. Get every year there's new books. Find out the good toothpaste that have no oats and get things that are chametz free. I'm thinking we are living a much healthier life. When we were younger, everything was mamish poison. Now there's less poison.
We have choices.
I'm saying, but together with the healthier toothpaste, some of them have in them chametz. You should know, some of the toiletries today have chametz a lot more than 10 years ago because everyone is trying to get healthier. And find out. Get a book and find out. Every year they come out, this toothpaste, that, okay, gesundheit.
I mean, the book normally just has, the classic ones, like Crest.
That is good.
I mean, the toothpaste I have is, got tangerine oil and like all these natural. It doesn't have oats, but it's got like natural.
Find out from the nutritionist. And, find out from her if there's any, if there's any of the five grains in there. That's what you want to find out. And if you don't have any of the five grains in there, and it's not edible, and it's not edible, then it's okay.
It says safe to swallow, so
that's an issue. Safe to swallow doesn't mean it's edible. Safe to swallow means that it's not the type of poison that Crest is.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
How about makeup that's not lipstick? Does any...
Same logic, that any lipstick, toothpaste, or things that go in your mouth, we're much more careful.
Everything else,
if it's not the edible, if it's not edible...
Perfume is still off the table.
To perfume, they have to know which perfume, because perfume could be edible and there's alcohol. Some of them have alcohol in it. Don't think it's not edible. I want to say, that's what I'm saying. Perfume is, ask addicts. We have people that are, they'll tell you. This is even before they get desperate. Many expensive perfumes, it's just it's a very expensive l'chaim. But the l'chaim that the men are buying now costs the same amount of money. You pay $400 for a bottle, so you pay 80. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
They drink perfume?
They drink perfume.
People that are addicted to alcohol, yeah, yes, they will. Let me tell you something. I know a little bit about the Bashgacha process, about the perfumes. That there was, that's right, there's a certain tax that's connected to alcohol. So the mazel, which is good for us for a Pesach, is that certain big name perfumes, to prevent, to get out of that taxing, they added to the perfume a poison that makes it, you can't have it. And that's good. That betters it for Pesach. But you have these lists and they keep on upgrading it, and there's reasons for it. Things are changing. People are changing a lot today. People change for the wrong reasons. People change ingredients because they want to make more money. And they figure out how to substitute Aleph with Beis. Could be Beis was Chametz. Could be these companies that are doing something forever will give you the same product. It will taste the same, but last year it was not chametz, this year's chametz. But we'll just look for the products. Or just think healthy fruits and vegetables and meat and potatoes. I mean, if you go that way, you have nothing to worry about. Once you start buying more.
Barbecue sauce, marinara, duck sauce.
Okay, once you start buying more. I want to say also for Pesach, I feel bad. People are very health conscious here, and that's a mitzvah. Not to be obsessed, and it will be a big pity if people that have eating disorders, and you can argue we all have eating disorders, will lose it because of Pesach. It's a pity, and that's, we have the power to change it. Because I thought more and more, you're speaking about Shalachmanis. Shalachmanis is the nothing. Shalachmanis is our children copying our craziness with Shalachmanis. But if you want to attack it, don't attack the kids with Shalachmanis. We have to start ourselves with the excess of the meals. If we do that, we'll be doing a big favor for our, have rachmanis on your kids, because all of your daughters are going to do what you did. Why give it to them? It's slaving for nothing, mamish, to go healthier and to go less food. No one is going to go hungry. Have abundant. I'm not saying, but the it's just very hard to do it, because people, especially when they have guests, they feel it doesn't reflect good on them. Yeah, that's a social pressure. Okay, so that's a avoida, to have the courage, so you don't have to go extreme. Make it more than normal, but take it down a notch. Take it down on purposefully, and tell it to your kids. They should know what you're doing. Tell them that I could have made 8 salads. I don't think it's an exaggeration. And for the people that can't afford it, it puts them in a bad position. And I don't think it's appreciated. I think it devalues everything. The worst thing is to have a person eating and saying, I can't eat anymore. If someone says that, something is really, really wrong. Complete, like we're off. We have to get on, not off. People should be hungry and people should look forward to the meal. Even if you have 10 days yontiv in a row, they should be looking forward to it. That's the ideal. No. We all have big ideals, but I think that's a great ideal. Same thing with the content on the table, that goes for both the mother and the father. Not God forbid, to control everything, chas v'shalom. There has to be a free flow, but to add, you know, the way it is, to have a dvar Torah, to have a nigan, to inject the table with something elevated in a healthy way. And I know that it always changes and you have to know your kids. And if your kids are allergic to it, then don't force it. Every family is different. But the ideal, I think, to eat a little bit less and to sing a little bit more and to speak more Divrei Torah, I think that's the direction I think that everyone is trying to get to. And if we want to get there, then we'll make a little dent and another dent, and God willing, in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll get it perfect.